Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Walker. Tim Wildman, Walker Wildman, Ray Pritchard, and now Chris Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well,
ready to go.
Fellas, I wanted to point out something before we get to Chris's stack of news there. I was looking at Real Clear Politics. First time I've checked it this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I usually check it two or three times a day. It's a site that has all the latest polling.
Right.
Not only presidential, but state by state, even some Senate races and so forth. Anyway, just clicked on it for Tuesday, September the 29th. And I found this interesting. It's a Harvard-Harris poll. I'm assuming that's Harvard University. Shows in the general election, Biden 47, Trump 45. That's the first time
that's
I've seen.
Close.
Right? Have you seen? That's the first time I've seen any poll that had President Trump.
Is that national? You say
in a national general election poll.
Yeah.
Anywhere close to Biden? By close, I mean within 6 points. Have you seen anything?
No. I mean, what we've seen in these ABC, Washington Post, New York Times kind of polls that put Biden up, what, 6, 7, maybe even 8 points nationally?
Oh, yeah, some of them 9 or 10.
Right, right.
And then, in addition to that, and again, that may change tomorrow, and it may show Biden up 8. I don't know. I'm just saying that today, a Harvard University poll, a very liberal school,
mm-hmm.
finds a 2-point differential in a general election between Trump and Biden. And also it says in Wisconsin, now this is a different poll, something called SUSQUEHANNA. You ever heard of that, Ray?
No.
Chris, you have any idea what that is?
No, sir.
Susquehanna, maybe? Susquehanna, is that it?
I think it's... That may be a restaurant.
they polled the patrons at the restaurant?
Yeah, it may be a restaurant in Madison, Wisconsin.
Great cheese fries.
Because that's a poll out of Wisconsin that finds Biden up by 2 in the state of Wisconsin. And then a third poll in Pennsylvania by the ABC Washington Post shows Biden up 9 in Pennsylvania. I don't believe that.
No,
I don't believe that. But it's very close out there. Now Biden shows up as ahead in almost every poll everywhere. But it's in a lot of these swing states, these what do you call them, battleground states. It's very close. Even the polls are showing it's very close. Maybe most of them are showing Biden with 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 point leads.
Mm-hmm.
Trump ahead in North Carolina and Florida and Ohio by 1 or 2, some. I mean, this very tight race right now, and we're going to have to see what the results of the debate does tonight to the numbers. I don't think whatever happens tonight, with the exception of maybe one of the candidates passing out, I don't think it's going to affect the polling numbers that much. Maybe 3, 4, 5 percentage points at the most, because I think most people, by most I mean 90% of the American public that's going to vote, have already made up their minds.
Right.
Wouldn't you say, Ray?
Yeah, and it's only going to take, Tim, a few thousand votes in Pennsylvania or Michigan or Wisconsin, just to name 3 battleground states. I mean, Michigan and Wisconsin were very close 4 years ago, right? Very close. So even though most people have made up their minds, It's not going to take but a few thousand undecided going one way or the other to swing one of those states either blue or red.
Yeah, that's true. But this general election Harvard-Harris poll, maybe it's an outlier. We'll see tomorrow maybe or as we go through the week. But what Walker's showing, Biden only up 2 nationally.
Yeah. The only way I see tonight, and this is kind of – it's kind of sad that this is an indicator of debates or – performance, but if Joe Biden just completely can't keep it together, can't stay on track, can't focus, can't remember his talking points, if he just has trouble getting through the debate,
yeah,
then I could see that really hurting him. But that may really hurting him may only be, to your point, 3 or 4 percentage points.
Yeah. You got the ham sandwich effect out there, as I mentioned that before, and that is there are 35-40% of Americans who they're ready to get rid of President Trump, and they don't care if they have to vote for a ham sandwich.
Right.
If it's ham sandwich v. Trump, they're going ham sandwich. So that's what I mean. There is a significant percentage of the American public that is in that camp, and they're not going to be moved.
Mm-hmm.
Whether Biden drools on himself tonight, you know,
they don't care, or
Biden says I'm a Martian,
yeah,
they're gonna say, well, I'm still voting for him.
Right. It's a hate Trump crowd.
Yeah,
at all costs.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Chris, go ahead.
Well, this is an interesting piece of information I came across just a minute ago, and this may be more or less a question for Ray and Tim, only because of the age of Walker's children. But Tim and Ray, how many of your childhood math or science lessons do you remember today?
What now?
How many of your childhood math or I'm going somewhere with this. How many of your childhood math or
we
science
We both hesitated.
Lessons?
We're not sure where we're going here. Okay.
Well, I'll How tell you this. If the right. answer is barely any, you aren't alone. And trust me, I think I'm in this camp as
okay.
well.
I'm definitely barely any.
Okay. A recent survey of 2,000 U.S. parents finds the average parent these days has the math and science skills of an 11-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
This is research commissioned by an organization known as Mongoose, and it's very timely given the fact that you have a lot of kids back in school these days, some of them still doing virtual classes at home. But interestingly enough here, it would appear that a lot of our problems tend to be generational. In other words, if mom and dad don't get it, I'm not going to understand it either.
Now, Ray and I,
yeah,
we made volcanoes out of paper mache and
just baking soda. That's exactly right.
To make it erupt. Does that count, Chris? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, that could be a science lesson. I think this is interesting, though, that's when right. you consider the fact that we as a nation spend more money on education than many, if not most, countries, and we're still carrying around the math and science skills of an 11-year-old.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you can cut out algebra.
That's right. If you got a calculator, what do you need algebra for?
With all due respect to algebra teachers, and you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When have you ever been asked to solve for X?
Well, honestly,
any time
that train
life.
Is
think,
never getting
I
to
think
its
Ray
destination.
Is getting to a good point here. I mean, trigonometry, for example, how much have I used trigonometry in my current job position for the past 5 years?
Yeah.
The answer is
that
negative
zero.
Something.
Yeah. What I use is
here's the answer I always get though to that: in advanced math and the Wildman family do not jive. I'm just telling
They're
you.
Incompatible.
We can do adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing.
You can do long division. That's all you have to do.
That's right. You jump from the moon to Venus. As far as math goes, you've left us behind.
Yeah, right.
Huh?
I don't get it either.
But now, you need a bridge built.
Uh-huh.
Then you need that trigonometry.
Yes, if that's what they do for a living,
you need that geometry, bridges. And you need you want to travel to the moon and back.
Yes,
they're not going to consult you, Walker. They're
no,
going to consult somebody
not.
Who knows all this advanced math.
That's right.
So
and I'll gladly delegate that to someone who knows advanced math.
So I am grateful for advanced math. I'm just saying, I think. Well, I'm double speaking here. I'll be honest with you. I'm doing like a debate tonight for Biden. I'm double speaking. I said cancel algebra.
Come on, man.
And now I'm saying.
You know what? I really wish, and I think some high schools do this. some specialty schools do this, but once you get past eighth grade and you get into high school, you should start thinking career path and be able to tailor your courses, even in high school, towards your career path.
Mm-hmm.
That way you're not taking, you know, College Algebra 3, if that even exists.
Who really knows what they want to do when they're in eighth grade, though?
Well, I mean, at least narrow it down to like three or four professions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you were just saying you that's the way you would have got out of trigonometry. Or
that's right.
It is.
That's
right. Let me just say, there's a reason I have a BA in communication. Okay. One math, kids.
Mm.
That's my shameless plug.
Okay, Chris.
There is also
next important topic.
Yeah. Well, there's also another survey out. This is from FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, one of the organizations we interview a lot for news stories. They came out with a ranking every so often of the top five and top worst colleges for free speech. And surprisingly enough, there's a couple of colleges here in the worst colleges category that are actually in really red states. For example, Louisiana State University, or LSU, and the University of Texas are among the worst colleges for free speech, among according to FIRE. Ray might like this one. Kansas State University is in the is one of the top five colleges for free speech.
That's what I'm talking about.
Texas right. A&M University is also among the top five colleges for free speech.
Who's doing the survey here on this?
This is FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education. They've been around for a long time. A lot of people that have appeared on this program over the years have done some work for them, talking about free speech.
I would just be curious what their how they measure that.
Yeah, that's a great question. They look at a number of metrics. Some of them include whether or not you have to go through a bunch of hoops to be able to have an event or have a display, things like that. In some campuses, and we've heard this from attorneys with ADF over the years as well, on some campuses you have to ask for permission and then stand in a certain spot on the campus to be able to share your message, whatever it may be. And even then you might have restrictions, and that's one of the things FIRE frowns on. But all that to say, you know, don't just assume that it's, you know, Berkeley out there frowning on free speech. There are some colleges in really historically red states that are apparently not fans of free speech, including LSU and the University of Texas, which Austin itself is not exactly a conservative.
Well, there's
bastion.
Texas and there's Austin.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm going to quote you on that. Mm-hmm. I'll clip that later for
the People's Republic of Austin.
Hey,
Yeah. To defund the police. It's a typical liberal college town.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Go ahead. Yeah. Well, I mentioned this. We talked yesterday about Florida reopening, and we've got one other state that a lot of people have focused on this year, that being Michigan and its cases of coronavirus or COVID-19. Governor Gretchen Whitmer says movie theaters and other venues can reopen in 2 weeks after nearly 7 months, guys, of closure during the coronavirus pandemic and her government's response to it. I mean, they've shut down all kinds of stuff. But it looks like if they can promise to do this and that, you've got indoor cinemas, arcades, bingo halls, bowling alleys, indoor climbing facilities, and trampoline parks are going to reopen in the great state of Michigan in the next couple of weeks.
Well, I'm glad for the citizens of Michigan, but I'm not going to applaud the governor because she's about 3 or 4 months too late on this.
Yeah.
Other states have been open for months now.
Mm-hmm.
Rightly so, because people have to earn a living and pay their bills. So
fund the government with your taxes.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, good for the people of Michigan.
That's one thing that I've thought has been missing in a lot of news coverage on coronavirus. Oftentimes, the Associated Press is notorious for this. They'll blame all of our economic problems on the coronavirus pandemic. USA Today even used that phrase today. I like to, in our news coverage, say the coronavirus pandemic and the government's response to it, because, for example, it was Governor Whitmer's actions that shut down everything, and these people are now hurting, many of them probably Democratic supporters of Governor Whitmer.
I agree with your analysis there overall, but I also agree that this is for the people of those states to make a judgment on.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you live in Michigan, I'll see whether she's reelected or not. If she's reelected, I will say the that a majority of citizens of Michigan thought she did a good job with the COVID response.
Mm, yeah.
Or not. So we'll find out. When is she up for re-election?
Oh, it would be at least another year or two. She was elected not long before she gave the Democratic Party's response to the State of the Union, which feels like 100 years ago at this point. That was back in February.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe she's in her first term. You know, she was on Biden's short list for a running mate. And I think he
wrong
kind of
color.
Yeah, I think he put himself. He kind of ruled her out based on his.
Based on her skin color.
And every other white female.
Yeah, right. They were out
for that matter.
That's true. But you know, Whitmer. I mean, she was really being taken to task for example. You remember several months ago, it's been, but she was. A lot of people were speaking out against her for not allowing people to buy seeds to plant food and things like that.
Yeah, she got. She did get a little wacky with her. Pronouncements
that
of
would have Whitmer VP pick would have been the end of the Biden campaign because that would have lost him Michigan for sure, because that's how much she is disliked in Michigan right now,
mm-hmm.
because of all of her orders that she's been doing.
Yeah. All right, Chris, by the way, let me just tell folks, if they want to read our news, subscribe to our news service, which mm-hmm. you work for, Chris.
Yes, sir.
And Fred heads up for us. How do they do that?
Yeah, you can go to onenewsnow.com, and on the right side of the page near the top, there will be something that says Daily News Brief. Click on that, enter your email address, and once a day, we will send you a list of our top stories that we're covering that day across all kinds of categories, five, six links, and some information there. It'll arrive in your inbox around some point in the afternoon. We do not sell or share your email address. Many people are concerned about that. And more importantly, we don't ask you to pay to read our news articles. I can't stand that. I know other people don't like that either. So thanks to your kind generosity there, AFR supporters, we don't require people to pay to read our news.
By the way, Ray, you think the live sports events, how long do you think it'll be before we're back to full capacity? On those things.
Next year, maybe.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to happen this fall.
I agree.
Maybe by the spring. I don't think before then.
Yeah, because we do know that, the virus, the COVID is spread by close contact.
Right.
With people who have it. Obviously, you have to have it, spread it. For long periods of time. COVID is not, just floating around out there and you catch it walking down the street. You have to be around somebody that has it for 15 minutes, I heard.
Right.
I read about this.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's for the most part, that's right.
So you cannot have indoor activities when it's shoulder to shoulder,
right.
You're just asking for the spread of the virus. Is that
Yeah, I think right? that's I think that's fair to say. There was a study out of New York a few months ago that showed that 70% of spread from people who were infected in New York was from households.
Yeah.
From household members. So you're spending multiple hours a day with people, sharing kitchen and bathroom and all that. So I think some of the capacity could be increased. Like I watched these NFL games last night, and they have like zero fans, some of them, and then others are doing like a little trial run with like 30 fans. But you've got a stadium that seats between 70 and 100,000. I mean, surely we can let 10,000 in, and just do like every other seat or something like that. But college football is.
I think allowing like 25% capacity.
Yes.
Which sounds about right, which allows for plenty of space. And you're outside.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there were people at the Ole Miss game this past Saturday when the Rebels were hosting the Gators. And then this Saturday, MSU is going to be hosting Arkansas. So there will be some fans there. I want to say it was about 16,000 and change in Oxford for the Ole Miss game. And there were fans at the LSU game. In Baton Rouge, it was when you didn't see a lot of blimp shots. I don't know if you noticed that on some of the games you watched, because it's sad. Speaking
you mean,
of sad,
you seeing an empty bowl?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it basically
stadium.
It's kind of weird. Actually,
it really is.
Empty it is.
I don't know if you keep up with the NFL so much, but the new stadium they built out in the Compton area of L.A. for the San Diego Chargers of Los Angeles and the L.A. Rams, they built this like multi-billion-dollar stadium for both of those teams to share, kind of like the Jets and the Giants do. But due to the COVID-19 restrictions from Governor Newsom and other officials, they won't allow anybody in the stadium. And they spent like $1.2 billion on this place. It's just sitting there.
You know,
you mean they won't even let them have games in the stadium?
No, they can. They're doing the games. They just don't have the fans. That was one
so
of the
nobody's
stadiums.
There. Completely empty stadium.
Brand
and
new
two
stadium.
Teams playing
yeah.
football.
Yeah. That's the way it started out the season.
I was talking to someone the other day just talking about SEC football. And, you know, one thing this is going to do this year at least is take away much of the home field advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, you go down to Baton Rouge and play LSU or go over to Tuscaloosa and play Alabama with 100,000 fans, there's a clear home field advantage right. there. But now right. it's basically a scrimmage game with no fans yelling. And
well, as a Mississippi State fan, I hate that. I'm just sorry that's happening.
Because of our Cowbells?
Alabama and LSU.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So,
no, it's a bummer.
Yeah, having to play without 100,000 fans screaming at the opponent.
Roll Tide! Yeah, I lived in Alabama for 5 years, and it was. As a matter of fact, I saw a.
Was that a demon? What was that right there?
That was Chris's Roll Tide boys.
Roll Tide! No, there's a no. But I lived in Birmingham for 5 years,
and you're mocking
I saw
them.
A guy. I love Bama fans.
Yeah.
But I lived there for a number of years, and I saw an Ole Miss fan one time at a store in the Birmingham area, and I stopped and like introduced myself, and I was like, man, I graduated from state, and I'm just so excited to see a rebel over here because I felt like a man without a country over there, especially during football season. Let me tell you this though, and I've said this on the program before. I'll say it again. No sports rivalry in the Milky Way galaxy compares to Alabama Auburn.
The Milky Way Galaxy.
Mark it down. The aliens are playing something probably, somewhere. I don't know. Yeah. It doesn't compare to
the Biden families. In-state rivalry.
Yeah. Speaking of sports, MLB, their playoff, the playoffs begin today. I don't know if you guys have watched this.
Not followed it at all.
Well, what's weird here is they're allowing more teams into the postseason this time around, but what's even more weirder, if that's a word, is the fact more that weird. When it gets to the championship series, they're going to play the NL championship series in an American League stadium and the American League championship stadium in a National League stadium.
What?
That was one of their plans, just in case.
Well, you're running from COVID.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
the Padres need to stay a step ahead of COVID. Yeah.
So that's a good way to do it.
COVID is not a fan of interleague play.
Yes, Ray. Trick up the virus. The virus doesn't know where you're going.
Right.
You know, so, any given day.
Here's the question I have, and this maybe this shows our priorities right now when our country's 30 days away from an election, but who gets to go to the national championship for college football? I guess if you don't play a season, then you don't get to go.
That's a very good question.
Nobody from the Pac-10 or 12 or whatever they are.
That's going to be interesting to see because
they're only playing seven games.
The Big Ten – and the Pac-12 conferences are only going to get like six games.
Yeah, I think the MAC, too, only six.
So if you don't play a full season, you don't get to go to the national championship. Maybe they'll have like a mini national championship for the six-game teams.
The little national championship?
Yeah.
You want to call it that?
Just go ahead and announce Alabama and Clemson and get
right.
it over with.
Not again. Please.
Please.
All right, nothing against Alabama and Clemson. I just want to see part four, okay?
I've lost count.
We'll see you back tomorrow, everybody. Enjoy the debate.